Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg. It's a Sunday morning, kind of rainy outside, but thank you for letting us be a part of your Sunday mornings. Good morning to ya!
Morning.
And a good morning and happy September the 15th to everybody in Stonecrest.
All right.
That's okay. I like the way you said that's all right. I know about them.
Stonecrest.
I know about them folks.
Yeah. That's as far as you can go in DeKalb County.
Before what happens?
Before you hit Rockdale County.
Okay.
That's the next exit.
Rockdale County, I always remember there was a place out there, a dog trainer, and a couple of the Atlanta Hawks and a couple of the guys from the Braves used to bring the dogs out there.
Really?
Yeah, I had a friend of mine who had a Rottweiler, and he used to get his dog trained out there. He had a Doberman and a Rottweiler.
Whoa.
I can't believe I used to visit this dude, but I did. He used to play softball with him. Yep. And I remember he gave – God, this stuff pops to mind. Do you ever have anybody who was, like, you know, moving or whatever, and they just didn't want to take everything, and they say, hey, Sam, you know, I got this,
yeah.
I got this couch, yeah, or I got, yeah, this. Yeah, and yeah, you've been looking for it, guys. Like, yeah, yeah, I could use that. So he had a sectional.
Okay.
You know, this is back in the day, and I was still looking – I was still kind of – making my way through Atlanta. You know, I was going from apartment to apartment, and, you know, with every move, I was getting something a little different and, you know, a little nicer. And so he had a little, you know, little pit thing going on back, you know, everybody used to have those. And so I was like, oh, yeah, okay, I'll take it. So he was moving. So he says, just go on by the house and pick it up. I'll leave the door open. And he had a Doberman then. And I had been over there a bunch of times with him while the Doberman was through the house. So the dog knew me.
Yeah.
But when I went to go get these sectionals, when he wasn't there, and the dog let me in with no problem. Like, hey, and I forgot its name. But anyway, I went in there and I started grabbing stuff. When I started walking toward the door,
yeah,
this dog turned into Darth Vader.
Whoa.
And would not let me out and started growling at me. I literally had to back out the kitchen door. Like, he was by the front door. So I just kept backing up. I don't think he was going to bite me. I just think he was just like being territorial.
Yeah.
Like, you're not stealing this. You can go.
Yeah.
But you're not stealing this sofa.
This is not leaving.
And I literally took four pieces that he left me, and went to the front door so the dog would get in front between me and the door, and then I backed up and then walked out the back door and then went downstairs and moved my car.
Whoa.
I always remember that, man. And but he had trained his dog out there in Rockdale County. So Cliff Levingston was a dude. He trained his dog out there.
Okay.
Used to, at least. That's what I heard.
Okay.
How was your week?
Okay.
It's been an interesting week, right?
Very interesting week.
A very, very, and this is our first time to talk about some things you've probably heard other people mention.
So going back to last Sunday at the Falcons game.
Yeah.
Yeah. That happened.
I remember we got off at 9 o'clock. I couldn't buy no wings. It was too early. They didn't have them out yet. I couldn't buy no wings. But I was mad. I had to go home. But, I mean, listen, we have a story of the week we'll get to in a little bit. But this has been just... You know, hey, listen, we get it. Football season beginning. We were on the heels of that first matchup last weekend and talking about what we were talking about, and here we are getting ready. To listen, we got back to – I can't remember the last time – you would probably know this – the last time Atlanta had back-to-back primetime games.
Yeah, no.
We got Braves tonight, Falcons tomorrow night.
Okay, as far as that goes. You have to think for a minute.
Yeah.
You know, but it's been a while. It's been a while.
You hope.
And you think about that, you know, you got the college football going on. You got a big series with the Dodgers. Oh, by the way, that's happening here in town. Had 45,000 last night, Atlanta United. They dropped the match 2-0 for a team that's still hoping to stumble their way into the playoffs. We'll talk about them a little bit later on. But yeah, it's that time of year, like you said, where things just kind of run together and, you know, people are watching their expectations for the Braves, their expectations for the Falcons. Regardless of what we saw last week, there's still expectations for that football team. tomorrow night in prime time, and we're going to talk about it. We got a couple of guests coming up. They're going to really chew up this game and talk about it this morning. So you want to stay with us. If you're on board with us, we're here until 10 today because the Falcons play tomorrow night. It's still a game day.
I appreciate it. You've been doing that a lot lately. Like, I appreciate it. I'm just telling you, I appreciate
it. Football season.
Well, you make a smile on my face when you do
that. You know what? I'm great because you see what I got on here. You see what I got on.
You're representing Georgia. Oh, you're representing Georgia State.
Yeah.
And I have to do, if I'm going to be consistent one way, I have to clean it up when I'm wrong. I drove in this morning. The skyline looked, last week, remember I was talking about it? It was about 95% beautiful, and there was that one little letter that was, it's back on.
Back on.
Georgia State went over to Home Depot and got a light bulb, and the eye is back in university.
Or either somebody got on the step ladder, got up there, tapped it on the side, see, that works.
Or that dude who lit the torch in the Olympics in Barcelona shot an arrow up there. But it's back on, so again.
Well, you know what made it come on? The fact that Georgia State beat a Southeastern Conference team last night.
Uh-oh.
You beat the SEC. As they say, it just means more, right? Mm-hmm. And so to have Vanderbilt, you know, come and play in Atlanta at Georgia State, a lot of people said, hey, y'all get Vanderbilt to come down here. Well, you know, North Carolina came through about 3 years ago. They come, they bring their own officials. They were SEC referees, which
– Is that a thing?
When the power group teams come to a group of five place to play, when they come to their place, usually their officials – I didn't check to see this past week. Texas State hosted Arizona State, and I'm pretty sure Arizona State brought their officials with them.
I don't understand why that's a thing, though, because football is football. Why should you have –
No, that's the deal. If you're going to get them to come to your building and you're a group of five school – because normally if you go to them, they're going to write you a check.
I get it. So it's
business.
But this smacks of –
No,
these people who are on that level aren't as good officials as the other ones.
Well, that's the first thing that hit me.
Yeah,
they bring their officials because their officials – can potentially take care of them. When North Carolina came to play here, the ACC officials took care of them.
I mean, I hear you.
Vanderbilt's not one of the sacred cow programs of the SEC.
Right.
If you were taking on Auburn or Tennessee, and you know they couldn't save Georgia State from Tennessee up in Knoxville a few years ago. But then Georgia State just whooped them. You know, the SEC officials couldn't save them. You know, they saved them down at Auburn. When they're playing Auburn, the officials saved Auburn. But, you know, last night, you know, they get the win over Vanderbilt, and it's big. Dave Cohen, a longtime voice of the Panthers, is going to join us at 8 o'clock and really go over what that means. They got a break next week, and then Georgia Southern comes in. That's a big, big grudge match they have in a couple of weeks.
So we got that coming up again, all college football, you know, throughout the show here. We're going to talk Braves, L.A., as you mentioned. Gil Tyree will be joining us, Lou Rose, talking Atlanta, Philly. Monday night, we're going to venture into Noel's world. At some point, we're going to bring up KISS, right?
With Dave Cohen, you have to. It's mandatory. It's mandatory. You have to do that.
But the second half of the show, we are really looking forward to, not that we're not looking forward to Gil.
Because we got to talk to him because now we're rooting for Philadelphia. The Phillies are playing the Mets this weekend. That's true. Did you ever think we'd be feeling – no, we didn't think we'd be these guys. Yeah. But, you know, we'll talk with Gil about that.
We will talk to Gil about that. And – But coming up at 8:20, this is the guy we go to when it comes to anything UFC, and it's our old producer, and we just love talking to him, and we'll do a shout-out to his mama.
Yeah.
But Max von Hawken will be joining us, recapping UFC 306, the big night in the Sphere, just all the pomp and circumstance that surrounded that. And, you know, he gave me the impression that it was more about the event than the card.
Okay.
And so we'll talk to Max about that, and then what's coming up around the corner. What's next is there was big news that happened last night that was announced. So I'm going to talk to Max. I got a fresh casting call for you. And then David Archer. We haven't had David out in a while. Yeah. And there's been a lot of quarterback stories this past week. He is the perfect person to have join us. So David Archer will be joining us at 9:20. I got to tell you, though, throughout the show, though, we're going to have some fun. And I have reached out to David. I sent him a text. I reached out to Gil. Send him a text. Max is just too busy. We got to talk to Max about too many things, so I don't want to clout. I don't want to, you know, hold him down to come up with this. But tonight is the Emmys, and so Noel, Sam, myself, we are going to at some point give you our top five all-time favorite TV shows. And not that you're going to lose any sleep over it, but we're just going to have some fun with that. But it'll also be very generational, because last night when I knew that I was doing this with you guys. had the family over, and I asked Kyle and McKenna that. So I'll tell you what they said. But do we have time for our story of the week? She's giving me a no. Okay, we got to save it till next segment. Well, I got this. So, you know,
okay,
she's
yeah.
looking
oh,
at
yeah,
the time,
yeah,
and I appreciate yeah, that because yeah, it would be too long.
Just keep this on schedule.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But I will tell you this then. So last night they told me that, like, their five favorites were very generational. First of all, there were a couple cartoons in there, like SpongeBob, Pokemon. What was the other one? Shameless.
Okay.
They liked that show. Breaking Bad.
Yep.
And there was one other one from, like, the 90s. But you get the impression. Like, I know that I'm going to have some shows. I might have one or two that Noelle may have on her list. But you and I will be, I have a feeling you and I may have a few. But like I said, it's a generational thing. So we're just going to have some fun with that throughout the show. Also, like I said, when we get talking to, talking about college football, we saw Manning do something last night, yesterday, that unless you were in your 70s or 80s and go back and you're a New Orleans Saints fan or an Ole Miss fan, you didn't see a Manning do. And you saw it yesterday. And it also gives you reason to pause. So we're going to talk about Arch Manning, Texas. We, you know, they handed Michigan their lunch money, took their lunch money last week, and then we're at it again. And didn't the Heisman Trophy, one of the Heisman Trophy candidates go down, which is why Arch got in?
Yep, yours.
So been an interesting week. And I asked this question as we go to break, and I want Noelle to tell me when she comes back. Who, at this point, are giving you bigger headaches, Atlanta United or the Dream?
Wow.
We'll talk about that coming back.
It's running close right
Sam
now.
Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning. It's the 15th day of September. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And take us with you in the Odyssey app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Watch Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on a Sunday morning, 15th day of September. Thank you for letting us be a part of your Sunday mornings. Used to be Saturday and Sundays. We'll get our Saturdays back in a little while here. I like this one.
Yeah.
Well, Bon Jovi, It's My Life on Star 94. Anyway, Mr. Crenshaw, we had to cut it short the last segment. And before we get into college football and all the stories surrounding what happened yesterday, we want to get our stories of the week out of the way. And so, Noel, would you please?
It's time for Sam and Greg's story of the week.
Could be sports.
Grapefruit League activity.
Could be news.
Could be entertainment.
This is our first time on the VMAs.
It could be, well, anything.
You know what I'm saying?
Sam and Greg's story of the week on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here's Sam and Greg.
All right. You want me to go first?
Go ahead.
Who'd we come back with? It's My Life.
Okay.
Bon Jovi.
Okay.
That dude and what he did last week is my story of the week. I mean, there's a number to choose from, but I chose that one. Did you hear what Bon Jovi did? He talked a woman off a bridge that was allegedly about to jump. This is a big story, man.
Okay.
They had a woman who was about to jump off this bridge, and it was in Tennessee, Nashville. And so the story picked up when he arrived, but I don't know how long she was out there, but they already had the bridge closed down, police tape all around, and she was just there. And, of course, authorities were trying to talk her off the ledge. My thing is this, and while that's again, my story of the week, A, he's there. He's with what is being reported as his assistant. And they let him go up to talk to her. And normally they keep as many, because what if she's not a Bon Jovi fan? We don't know who this woman is. What if she's European or she's from some other country that doesn't know
who?
About exactly.
Who?
Don't you know? You got to go through that. Don't you know who I am? But yeah, he went. He John Bon Jovi helped talk a woman off a ledge in Nashville earlier this week. He was filming a music video near the bridge just after 6 p.m. Tuesday for the People's House, a song for his band's new album, Forever. Anyway, he goes and he talks to this woman, and after a few minutes, they bring her over the ledge, and bada-bing, bada-boom, bada-boop, he's got himself a really big story there. But he's credited with talking her off this ledge, and then they took her to the hospital. You got to wonder if he's going to give her concert tickets.
She may get concert, yeah.
I don't know that I'd want somebody who's ready to jump off a bridge coming to my show. I don't know what kind of temperament they got.
But
anyway, Bon Jovi.
Backstage passes.
Yeah, Bon Jovi. That's my story week and what he did. And again, there's so many to choose from, which we will be talking about. But I put that one over because it was a life saved. I was going to say, well, does yours have to do with another type of athlete?
Oh, mine does. And it's something that we all saw, the concussion with Tua.
Okay. Talk about that's not the one I'm
and so that's the one I'm thinking about and what it means. It'll be the topic on all the pregame shows.
Yep.
This morning, as you get ready for your NFL game day. Folks, here's the thing, and the reality of the sport. You know, you got to protect the players as best you can, but protect them from themselves. The irony of this is who he ran into.
Yep. Well, injury, I have a thought on that.
That he runs into DeMar Hamlin, who is back starting last year. Remember, he was back on the team. The Bills didn't play him very much, you know, after coming back from what we saw him go through, you know, his heart. So he was on the team. This year, he has a starting job back in Buffalo.
Yeah.
So he's back on the field, and of all ironies, of all people that he would run into and have this concussion, it would be him. But the question now is, how long is he out? When does he come back? Does he come back?
That's right. And those are all left out there, and he'll have conversations with his family. As the conversation swelled throughout this week after the event, you started hearing things that I had forgotten about. I had forgotten about this was the family business, meaning his brother and then the whole family. I'd forgotten about them all moving from, talk about a Clampett transition. They left Hawaii to go to Alabama.
Yep, absolutely.
Say that out loud.
You know,
but
that was the whole thing.
Exactly.
To get them in a position to get them prepared to go and have the success, and he's having that, but, you know.
So they're going to be a part of the decision, you would imagine, obviously.
That too.
The man's sitting on $95 million still left on the table. Yeah, there's another 100 and whatever for him if he continues to fulfill that contract. But guaranteed money is close to what. Well,
but I think there's a difference in whether or not he retires or whether or not the team says so he's physically unable to play.
He got hurt in a game.
I realize
this
that.
This ain't him riding a motorcycle
that.
And
no,
hit the tree.
No, not at all. But I mean, it also, you know, as people also look at what can you do to prevent it. We see more and more players starting to wear some form of the Guardian cap on the helmet. There was one in the Steelers game last week here in Atlanta, and the way it's decorated and whatnot, it's not the lumpy marshmallow looking thing you see them practicing. So as that happens, you know, because so many players are hung up on the look, or it doesn't look good, doesn't look cool. The leather helmet guys didn't like what we're playing in now back
in the
day.
And hockey goalies didn't like wearing masks for a while.
You know what I mean? The guys in the leather helmet, they said, that ain't real football. We ain't flying spaceships. Mm-hmm. Playing, you know, but that became the helmet.
Not only that, remember when they first started wearing them, the old Joe Slice, they only had one bar.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
One bar, like that did something.
Right. So, I mean, it evolves, and it's something else to evolve with the game. And I think seeing something like this, yeah, I don't know if it speeds up the process, but it makes people reconsider.
Yeah, that's a good one. Somebody stole my thunder with this, but I'm telling you, with that whole incident and the way it came out, that's a movie. That's the end of a movie. Or you could say that to the beginning of the movie and then go back. When he hits DeMar Hamlin and has that happen, that's scripted.
Yeah.
Like, what are the chances of that happening again with those two principles?
Yeah.
That's the end of it. That's like NFL films have put together a movie, and that's the end of it. You know, you tell those two stories because you could fill up. A good cinematographer could fill up a good hour with those two stories alone.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
You started off with that tackle as the beginning of the movie. Anyway. Like I said, that popped into my mind afterwards. All right. Let's get into this college football. Thank you, Noel. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9 The Game.
Wasn't supposed to be that hard, Greg.
What? Yeah, yesterday.
It wasn't supposed to be that hard.
Nope. Of course, talking about Georgia, Kentucky.
It wasn't supposed to be that hard.
And you kept sitting there at the edge of your chair watching the game going, when are they going to, you know, flip the light switch? what's going to happen? And Kentucky was like, no. And it wasn't like Georgia played that bad. Kentucky kept punching them in the mouth.
Yeah. Yeah,
running it down. I saw no run blocking for a while, or poor run blocking and tackling for a while.
In Georgia, of course, you have Brock Vandergriff over there who has a grudge, the quarterback for Kentucky. Mm-hmm. He ended up having to leave Georgia. There was no room for him to play. Growing up practically on the Georgia campus and sat there for a time, saw his chance, wasn't going to come, hit the transfer portal, ends up at Kentucky as a starter, and here he is with a chance against a team that didn't have room for him, right? And Georgia ends up pulling it out 13-12. Were they focused on this game? Were they looking ahead to next week? We don't know.
Well, there
know?
Is no next. This is the this is bittersweet, I would imagine, for Kirby, because he got umpteen things to bring to practice this upcoming week, right? Mm-hmm. But I believe they're on a bye.
They're on a bye next week before they play.
Yeah. So they got a bye next week. So they they didn't have any. Maybe they didn't have any planned practices anyway. Or whatever they do that
they
first
gonna,
week
they
after.
They're still going to practice.
I got a feeling he called him in.
Yeah.
He said, well, y'all, we got some things to work on. But
this game traditionally is a difficult game for Georgia whenever they play up in Lexington at night. It almost always is. But usually it happens later in the schedule. It's a big tradition of Kentucky being a tough out for Georgia when they have them up at their place. And usually it's later in the schedule. But it's earlier in the schedule now with this change, this revamped Southeastern Conference with new team members. 13-12, the final score, and here's Coach Kirby Smart.
All right. Sounded pretty calm.
Yeah, he did.
It sounded like, you know, coach of the number one team in the country. He sneaked out with a win.
Yep.
Again, I still think that he knows that there's some things that need to be worked on. And people were watching this. And he knows that he's going to get everybody's best punch moving forward. There's
But see, this is the first time playing outside of the state. And it's something going on the road. You know, the games, their first two games, they got so many games in state. When you think about the Clemson game, yeah, they played it here in Atlanta, but it's a game in state. You know, they played at home last week. This is their first time going on the road.
You think that's a thing?
It can be. It can be. And here's what Coach had to say about being on the road in the conference. We saw this a couple of years ago at Missouri, I think. I think they were at Missouri a couple of years ago, and they had a game that was a real struggle for them at night on the road in the conference. And that's just it. They're going to get everybody's best.
Yeah.
They're going to get everybody's best wherever they show up. And, you would say for Vandergriff, it was like his Super Bowl. You know, yeah, he wants to win other games the rest of the year. But this one, you know, because right. he grew up there and because he was there at Georgia and leaves is one thing. But remember, they got to go on the road to Alabama. They got to go on the road to Texas. So, he's got a lot of ammunition to work with. And that's what coaches do. You know, I remember in North Carolina watching Duke basketball team and for them to lose a game during the regular season. And Coach K have them right where he wanted them.
Right, right.
You know what
exactly.
I mean? Right? Yeah. You know, you lost the game mm-hmm. as long, you know, and right where he wanted them. And can shape him and tell him and really coach him and really and get him. And now this is what he needs. This is what Kirby Smart's need because all the things he's told the team about, you know, see, this is what I've been telling you about. Also, though, ironically, this happens after another off-field incident in Athens. Not saying that it had anything to do with it, but it does happen on the heels of yet another off-field incident. And
how is it always the same issue with this program? You know, there's some programs that got some issues.
That's a heck of a car lot they got over there.
I mean,
that's a heck of a car lot they got over there, man.
106?
But I'm just saying that happens on the heels of that. But the important thing is they get the win. They get the win. They get this week to really refine things because. As always, as Coach Smart would say, the premium is on practice because of the level of talent that's been assembled there. Practice is often harder than the actual games themselves, and so that's what we're going to see.
You practice more than you play. You know, earlier on I was watching Game Day, and Nick Saban was on there, and they were talking about team cultures and how when you have certain games, like the LSU, they were at South Carolina, yes. That was a nice one.
That was amazing. They had a game day in Columbia,
it really
South
was.
Carolina.
I had never seen that. I guess they'd been there like 10 years ago. They'd been a while since they'd been there.
Been there 10 years ago for what?
Well, maybe it was longer than that. I don't know, but game day hadn't been there for a while.
Columbia?
That's what I'm saying. That's what they were saying.
I was going to say, Dawn Staley's just out there having more fun again.
Yeah, she was having big fun.
You go there for Dawn Staley, but you cannot go there for South Carolina football.
They might have went there when Witch's Face
was. Spurrier was coaching?
No, I was going back farther than that. Luke, from North Carolina, Notre Dame.
Oh, Holtz?
Yeah.
They probably were down there when Spurrier was there. I mean, they made it to the SEC championship game.
All I know is when I heard that Dawn Staley was going to be the guest picker, I knew that at some point we was going to hear Hootie singing, Darius Rucker. I could listen to that dude sing the phone book.
Yep.
There ain't nothing. Yep.
And
he can
sing anything he wants to.
He can sing anything. He can sing classical.
Yep. Yep.
He
to me is a modern day Ray Charles.
That's a very good way to put that.
I'm going
to
sing it. You sit down and listen to it and enjoy it.
That's a great call right there. We should shut up on that. There you go. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Get used to it. It's going to be here all day long. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. On this Sunday morning, where we will, throughout the show, little nuggets, little tributes to James Earl Jones. May he rest in peace. The dude shared the birthday, are you ready for this, with Ali.
Whoa.
He was, if I'm reading this correctly, born January 17th. And that's Mr. Ali's, right?
It's his birthday.
January 17th.
And one of his signature roles was Jack Johnson.
Yes, it was.
Right.
So as we talk about James Earl Jones throughout this this show, I will ask you little nuggets. I don't expect you to really know. But if you had to guess, how many movies he made off the top of your head? Because I didn't know this either, but you know, you just figure it's going to be a bunch. But let's put it this way. How many productions were you? Because there will be specials, TV shows. This is how IMDb counts them. How many credits does James Earl Jones have in his career?
Wow.
And I will tell you that I don't have nearly as many.
Yeah, I know.
I have 28.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I will have 28 when these next two premiere. So I've got like 28 credits.
Okay.
He had 190.
Whoa.
And I still think he's looking up at Harrison Ford. I just
could be.
And I think he's looking up at Sean Connery, but there ain't many people.
But my thing is this. Now, also, you got stage.
That's what I said, the credits.
The credits for
so this will be all credits.
Okay.
Like I said, IMDb does, you know. And this is not counting the things he lent himself to, that because all people lend themselves to projects where you don't get credit for it. You just want to be a part of it.
Yep. So this is counting voice things?
Yes, because Star Wars is listed here.
But does it count? This is CNN. Probably not.
Maybe not.
He cashed me. I don't know how much Ted paid him for that back in the day.
For years, he would not say it again in public.
Yeah.
Because he gets cha-ching every time he opens his mouth and said it. So people would always try to get him to say it. I think there were just maybe one or two times in an interview, and you probably see it on YouTube, where he did say it. But when you're that voice, it's like what's his dude from the boxing? He just ain't going to say, let's get ready to rumble. You say that, you got to write a check for 25 grand.
Yeah, you got to pay that dude to say that, man.
So this is the same thing I would imagine with James Earl Jones. So, again, just go back and look at the body of work this guy had assembled and the things that he was a part of that he didn't know.
Yeah.
He had dipped his toe in. And, again, can we, and this would have been the perfect time to play it. Maybe Noel can have it ready. As we exit this segment, we're getting ready to talk baseball. Probably the most famous speech connected with baseball in moviedom, and it's his from Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
They will come, Ray. They will come. Baseball is a part of this, you know. So the whole thing, I'm not going to disrespect him by trying to do a bad impression in that speech, but if we can get that on there, I believe. Has there been a better speech other than, you know, this is a movie. I'm not talking about Lou Gehrig's real one.
Yeah.
You know, that's actually real life. But I think that's the cornerstone. That's the gold standard as far as when you talk baseball or you want to describe baseball. If a Martian landed here, you'd play James Earl Jones from Field of Dreams talking about this sport. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Were you looking forward to seeing Freddie this weekend, man?
Yeah, and I think everyone who follows the Braves and has followed them over the years were looking forward to him coming, especially anyway.
Yeah.
And we had to wait so long for the Dodgers to come this year. My goodness, it's almost the end of the season before they get to come to town. And it seems like it was almost a year ago that we played them out there.
Yeah.
And so, and look at, think of how much has changed with the Braves team since that time. But yeah, always looking forward to having him in town, especially after what he's been going through personally.
There was a question whether or not he was going to make the trip, but he did. Max, his son, and I always forgive me. I just always stumble trying to pronounce this situation he's going through, and it's called. So where is it written at? Here I had it, but anyway. Doesn't matter. It's something, a neurological condition.
Yep.
That
it was very serious.
Affects his kid and his growth and causes pain and paralysis possibly. So I guess this happened before the game on Friday. It wasn't out in front of everybody. I think it was done back in some of the offices or the locker rooms. But Derek Schiller, Brian Snitker was a part of it. Mm-hmm. Freddie's wife was there. Chelsea, is that her name? I didn't see the actual son. They had a kid with him, but I'm unsure which one was there. And the Braves made a donation to this foundation and gave Trady a check. I don't know how much it was. It doesn't really matter. But they wanted to make sure that Freddie knew how much they still love him.
And then his first at bat, the ovation.
Yeah.
He's going to come. He will always get that. He will always get that love.
Is there a person that you can remember that left this team, even the guys who won it back in the 90s, like when Glavine and Smoltz came back, it wasn't like when they, Glavine went to the Mets and Smoltz bounced around a little bit. I don't ever remember, even Maddox, when he came back, the love that Freddie got, it was given to them. I can't think of anybody else. Did Dale Murphy get it? I wasn't living here, obviously, but he went to Phillies, right?
Yeah.
Did he come back here?
Phillies,
were you here for that?
Then Rockies, and when he would come back, there was a lot of appreciation for Murph.
And again, I was not here. You probably heard the stories. Hank finished his career in Milwaukee.
Right.
Did he come back here?
They didn't get to come back here to play.
Okay.
I think that actually predates interleague play. Yeah. It predates interleague play.
Yeah, so you're right there.
There'll be no way that he would have come back here to play a game.
So, like I said, it was just it's nice. I find it very. Sometimes sports who you look at them, you get connected with them, and they make you mad. They make you want to go out and spit and cuss and turn circles and things. And you hear a phrase like, "Well, it's just business. It's all business. You got to get over it." But you see the human side every once in a while.
Every now and then that does play
through.
And
that's what happened Friday night.
Absolutely, absolutely. And on the field, the Braves have done well in this series against the Dodgers. 10-1 winners last night against the Dodgers. And then they get some help from Philadelphia. I don't know if we ever felt we'd be cheering for the Phillies. But they're playing the Mets right now. And as we fight for this wild card spot, you want to see the Phillies stumble. And you want to see the Mets stumble. So they're playing the Phillies right now. So that's one. 6-4 Phillies were winners last night. So Braves getting win there on primetime tonight on the four-letter network, and we'll see what happens.
Back-to-back primetime Atlanta games. Got it tonight.
Tomorrow night, of course, you're going to get to hear it all here with the Falcons.
Well, you should bring that up, Mr. Crenshaw, because tonight – well, today, first of all, let's get through this NFL action because Falcons are going at it tomorrow night. So you got three games going on today. If you can't get in front of a TV, we got New Orleans at Dallas. We got Cincinnati at Kansas City. And we have Chicago at Houston. So you got those going on. And then tomorrow night, Falcons Philadelphia pregame at 6, kick at 8:15. That's a 2-hour, 15-minute pregame show. You got to like that.
And see, a lot of people having trouble seeing the Falcons game tomorrow night or seeing the Braves game tonight if you got an issue with ESPN and your
system. Oh, they came back.
It carries
I'm done with them,
is
though.
Back? Is back?
Oh, yeah.
No problem with ESPN. They're back.
During the show yesterday, Pat McAfee said, "Hey, DirecTV, welcome back." I was like, "Well, too late for me. I'm gone." And I got a feeling me and millions of others are the reason why they're back.
Well, the people are not on there. Atlanta 69 is carrying the game as well
there
tomorrow.
You go.
So there we go. We got a pregame show at 7 o'clock. Spend some time with Dave Archer and spend some time with Big Hugh Douglas.
Oh, Atlanta 6 o'clock is going to have the broadcast too?
Atlanta 69 will have the broadcast.
Oh, nice. They're going to shock out there.
Yeah, pregame at 7 and then,
she dipped in and she didn't do her signature, welcome.
Yeah.
We got to, you can't just dip in with that sweet voice without doing what you do.
Well, we want to stop the whole show in the morning, but good morning.
We always want to hear that. That ain't stopping the show.
That got us right.
That gets us pumped up. We got to keep moving. You got to keep this thing.
Also, Usher threw out the first pitch and was real extra about it because, you know, it's
Did
Usher.
You see that pitch? I mean, it wasn't 50 Cent, but.
Hey, man. You just got to nice. Show up.
He's had neck problems.
Yeah.
So I ain't mad at him. he had neck problems.
Chain around the neck right quick.
Chain around the neck.
I said, that's Usher.
I'm trying to think.
He didn't
know.
Come out there on the roller skates, did he?
No,
roller skates.
Not the roller skates. He made sure to give you the chain before you do the first beat.
Speaking of male singers, I'll tell you what. I ain't going to say nothing bad about Usher when I look at Justin Timberlake's week.
Man.
Did you know he had to come out there, hands all, you know, behind his back, just apologize to everybody.
And he is due to be on Jimmy Fallon late tonight show, I think Monday night. I think he's due to be on there. You know that connection between those two.
Yeah, but he's got some work to do.
Yeah, he does. He does. And oddly, and maybe it's ironic, that's where it starts.
Well,
gonna
start,
right? He's going to start by being on this.
Go on the world tour.
Going, it's the best good place to start.
Well, the problem, he got to get all this done because he's supposed to go out. See, this is all happening because he got to continue his tour. And I don't know. I'm just reporting what I've heard other people say. This album that he's out there supporting.
I felt that about the last one, too.
Really?
I have found that I throw things or artists or albums in the trash before other people. And then they'll come around the corner like 18, 24 months, sometimes 5 years later, and go, you know, that wasn't really all of that. It wasn't. It wasn't then. It's not now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Justin lost me musically a long time ago. But, you know, good luck to you. Go sell them tickets.
Yeah,
do what you gotta do.
Good luck to him.
As I always say, go get the money. This won't be from me.
This has not been a good week for male singers, Sam. Dave Grohl of Foo Fighters.
Yeah, I saw that, too.
He had himself a week, too. You know, he got to get himself a counselor on the phone and start apologizing to folks, starting with his wife and everything like that. If you don't know the story, look it up. That's all I'm going to say.
All I'm going to say is CPS.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9.
Ouch.
You just heard her say she didn't play. You know what else this week? And let's not gloss over this. And you tell me where you were, Noel. I don't think I've ever asked you this before. Tell me where you are. You were probably in school. You were probably taken out because you're young. But, you know, we all talked about 9/11 this past week.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so you and I were in the business already. Mm-hmm. I was down the dial. I was actually at what is now our competitor. Well, no, actually, that would be a music station. The other sports station in town here when it first launched, I was there with old Max Howe. And where were you at, Noel, when this happened?
I was at Martin Luther King High School, and I was there the entire day. Because, see, my mom worked nights, so she didn't even find out until right after I got off the bus what was even going on. She was asleep.
Mm-hmm.
So I think my dad called and woke her up and told her what was going on. But, yeah, I got off the bus and walked down the driveway and opened the door, and she was cooking dinner, singing I'm Proud to Be an American, because that's what was blasting on the radio.
Really?
As I'm watching the news. On mute. It was a weird scene for an 11-year-old. It was a weird scene.
I can imagine.
Seeing people getting checked out and you have no idea why, you're trying to figure out. Because people were getting checked out in mass droves, and I'm sitting there like, okay. Then I had cousins in New York, but I didn't know they was in New Jersey, not really New York, going back and forth. So I was trying to figure out what was going on with that. And yeah, it was a lot for a 12-year-old.
So now that the dust has settled and you look back at the adults in your life, now that you're one, and how they were dealing with you and keeping you away from stuff and how the school handled all of this stuff. This is that moment of your life, right? There's nothing been bigger.
No. Mm-hmm.
In your lifetime? Yeah. Anyway, every time that happens, you know, I watch all the, and I've seen different coverage, Sam. There's like different footage has come out over the years. Yeah, I probably started maybe 4 or 5 years ago, maybe a little longer than that, but I hadn't seen it before. Ground level, people with their cameras.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's now part of the package that's being sent out there. But I'll tell you what. And I just, I can't not help think of George W. Bush. Because I felt a certain way about him when he was president.
Mm-hmm.
But when we all came, when sports came back, and he went out there, and he threw that pitch at Yankee Stadium, I was like, all right, dude, you got me.
Yeah.
That's all he had to do. Yeah. And he threw a strike.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted him to do. When they said he was going to come out there, I was like, okay. All right, you used to own a team. Let me see. Show me what you got.
Yeah.
And bring make me feel a certain way. And I'll be damned if he didn't.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That always comes to mind.
In that situation with that
exactly.
As the backdrop,
exactly.
Right? You know, and that was amazing.
He did it then. Kind of missed me a little George W.
Well, the thing of it, also, it also tells you something about the games we talk about sports all day, 24/7 here on Sports Radio 929 The Game, but just the power of what the symbolism around a sporting event can do, mm-hmm. and what that means still, even all these years later, that it happened at a sporting event, something that would galvanize us. So that's the thing that makes it cool. That's the thing that makes this time of year so cool.
You know what I remember?
What's that?
On September 12th, if I remember correctly, didn't the Braves play the Mets in New York?
Oh, not that quickly.
No.
Okay. The first.
What was that? The next week or something like that?
It was a couple of weeks.
Football was first. Football was first, and then baseball came. And the football game, I forgot who it was, but it wasn't Atlanta. But Atlanta did play the first baseball game with the Mets, and Mike Piazza hit the home run against the Mets there. But I can't remember who the football game was, but everybody was waiting.
It had to be the Giants.
Well, it was.
I would just guess.
One of the first games, especially the first game to take place here in Atlanta, was a college game that me and our former colleague Jamie Dukes did the call on. It was Tennessee State and Florida A&M, the Atlanta Football Classic, 100 black men. And that game took place. That was one of the first things to take place in the city after 9/11.
Yeah, it was.
And remember, that came right after the U.S. Open had finished in New York. So that was the weekend before.
Not only that, and when you talk sports, I know we're going to get on out of here. You think about, we're doing sports talk here. Imagine what ESPN, that network, had to go through for those weeks and until the decision was made. Was it Tagliabue who was the one who made the decision? Right. But it was Tagliabue. The two people that were really getting pushed to get back to work once everybody felt like, you know, it was time was NFL, and I'll tell you, Saturday Night Live, because that was backdoor. Backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And for them to go back and do a live show, because nobody was taping, talk shows in New York. Letterman was off, Conan was off, all those shows that shoot the late night shows there, they were off. But anyway, just thought about that and revisited that this past week. Just a lot of stuff. This is a busy week. Anyway, as we move into the 7 o'clock hour, Gil Tyree from Philly will be joining us. Going to venture into Noel's world, but as always, going to turn things over to Mr. Crenshaw and let you know what's going on locally. Sam and Greg on this 15th day of September, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.